Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
Have your breath go all the way down to your abdomen. And on the exhale, know that you can release any tension that you may have arrived here with. After the meditation, we'll have a few moments of silence to envision world healing and world peace, having food distributed to all on our planet. And if you know of anyone who has made their transition just lately, we extend our hearts and love to their family and to them on their journey. Noticing our thoughts, releasing any thought of the future or the past, and presencing ourselves to right now. Envision a bright light moving up your spinal pathway like a spinning disc of light, lighting up your back, all the way up, to the back of your neck, the back of your head, and the top of your head. Focusing your attention on the point between your eyebrows, know that I speak these words for me and for you in the I person. There is one presence, one power, one God, the fullness of wisdom, creativity, and unconditional love, being omnipresent. It expresses not only around me, but in me, through me, and as me. Noticing I am speaking these words for you and for me in the I person. Today, right here and now, I enter into a new dimension of joyfulness, of willingness, and spiritual strength. If I ever have times of crises, I know I am tested and I may feel discouraged or disheartened. However, these times offer me an opportunity to become acquainted with how and when I become discouraged, and what I can do and how I can be to counteract feeling disheartened. I begin by opening myself into a greater frontier of thought. I shift my consciousness. My number one priority is being consciously aware, moment by moment, that I live in God. My unification, with and in the infinite presence, the infinite power. Then I make a determination of what I desire to do and be, and I reach in and I reach out to experience newness in my life expression. I know that since yesterday ended last night, there is a whole magnificent eternal life ahead of me right now. I'm thankful for this conscious realization this morning. I'm thankful for each person gathered here in spiritual community. I'm thankful for those at a distance in our extended family. I'm thankful for my world and universe and my relationship to them. Most of all, I am thankful for life itself, and so it is, and it is so. Thank you. The lights will come up and we'll be listening to We Come Together and then singing. Thank you. My topic this morning is antidotes for discouragement. Antidotes for discouragement. And you know me, I usually look up a few words, even though I think I know them. So an antidote in the dictionary says, remedy to counteract, a remedy to counteract. And I looked up courage, first of all. And courage is not about fearlessness. It's a quality of mind that takes on difficulties and dangers with firmness, even in the face of perhaps maybe being afraid. So discouragement is to be disheartened or having a hindered spirit, a hindered spirit. So today, antidotes for having a hindered spirit. So my purpose is threefold. First of all, inner reflection. How does discouragement show up in our lives? You know, I think awareness is about a third of our healing in any area of our life. So it's like the conscious realization that maybe we're feeling discouraged. And how does it show up? So I'll just address a few of those points. And then number two, I want to get into some antidotes for that, some remedies for counteracting it. And number three, using a code, and I'll get back to that code in a few minutes. So how is discouragement triggered in your life? How does it show up in your life? Sometimes we're discouraged just when we're feeling tired or exhausted. Sometimes when we're feeling that way, we stop doing what really works. We especially stop looking within, because looking within takes some energy. Sometimes some people just feel a little lazy. They just have a sense that there's just too much work to do. They let themselves off the hook about things that they need to be doing. Just have a sense of there's just too much. Sometimes we feel discouraged when we're just bored. A couple weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, I made a suggestion to make a list of 50 things that you savor in life, that you savor doing or being with. If you look at those things that you may have listed, which I hope you at least took the time to think about it, and start putting them consciously into your life, you'll find that boredom dissipates. Also, have you ever thought about what really excites you in life? What makes your heart sing? As you're thinking about those things and as you're engaged in those things, you'll find that you're not bored. Discouragement also shows up when we're frustrated. And a lot of times frustration shows up because we have unrealistic expectations. Unrealistic expectations. I've said many times when we're feeling upset, we usually have a thwarted expectation that's happened. I'm not saying never to have expectations, but it's a good thing for us to know that we've had expectation, and then when we're frustrated or upset, that maybe our expectation was unrealistic. How about whenever we're feeling fearful? We certainly feel discouraged when we're feeling fearful. Sometimes people feel discouraged when they think about their unhappy childhood, if it was unhappy. Your family of origin. It's very easy to go back into those old memories and just feel let down, discouraged, disappointed, and all these other things that I'm mentioning. We feel discouraged when we're feeling pain, whether it's emotional or physical pain. Sometimes we just get to the place of what's the use? And we feel discouraged when that's happening in our consciousness. I left the flip chart up from last week because we had a bit of a, almost like a workshop setting. I was talking about dissipating defeat in our life and entering into triumph in our life. And what I asked you to do is think about what the truth is about ourselves. And I had different people shout out what the truth is about ourselves, what we really know about ourselves as spiritual beings, as soul. And I've got a bunch of abbreviations here, but this is what was said. Purity, or love, we're an expression of the infinite. We're spirit. Someone said we're music. We're energy. We're a vibration. We're innocent. We're loyal. Those are just some of the attributes that we marked down. And for lack of, because of lack of space, I kind of ended it there. And then I asked us to look at, and I really hope that you took this home and like used it with any circumstance that came up in your life that was possibly of a negative nature. I asked us to look at some circumstances or situations, and for the sake of the tape, that was the outside circle. I drew three circles within each other, and the outside circle was the circumstances and situations. So when I'm speaking like last week about defeat or triumph, and that's a choice, this is also an antidote for discouragement. So we kind of brainstormed and people kind of spoke out, and what we put down some negative things here rather than positive things so that we could really do some process for ourselves and assisting ourselves to be empowered. So, you know, we looked at fear associated with anything, fear associated with death, scarcity, somebody just said not enough money, illness, stress, conflict, or some relationships may not be working, career, maybe there's some challenges there, or any type of loss. And then we looked at what are the belief systems that hold those in place. I don't normally review what I did the week before, but I think this model is so important for us in any particular situation, and especially when we're looking for an antidote of discouragement or to shift from defeat to triumph. So we looked at all these things that we marked here that were negative things, perhaps, that were showing up in our life, in our circumstances, in our situations. And we, in the middle circle, we looked at, so what are some of the beliefs that we hold that create that, that cause those things to happen in our life? Certainly realizing or certainly believing that we're a body rather than we're spirit. Believing that money doesn't grow on trees. Well, somebody said, well, it doesn't. Well, you know what? When we left Edmonton, they presented us with a money tree. And it was a plant that had money clipped all over it. And I know it didn't grow there. But, you know, it's sayings like this. Sayings that keep us in scarcity. When it rains, it pours. Bad things happen in threes. How about what if we thought, man, this was really great what happened. Great things happen in threes. And be like a positive expectation, like an opening, like a willingness to have more. And I'm not talking just about things here, of course. That we're not good enough. There's lots of abbreviations here because of the space. That we don't deserve, low self-esteem. Things like that. So as we realize that these situations and circumstances possibly were created by these beliefs, the way to shift from defeat to triumph and to shift as an antidote of discouragement to keep remembering and reminding us of the truth about who we are, about the truth of the situation. Scarcity, do you know there's enough money on planet Earth for every single solitary human being to be a millionaire? A lot of times people think there's just not enough money. So, you know, looking at some of these antidotes, I said earlier, I said, sometimes we're just tired. So here's the thing. One of the laws of the body is the law of recuperation. And that means that you need to have rest and you need to have your sleep. It's really easy to get depressed. It's really easy to get discouraged when we're tired. You know, like, look after ourselves that way. You know, I said a little earlier about sense of laziness or even boredom. Sometimes the thought of that there's just too much to do. And I know certainly in my life, sometimes I'm kind of up against it. If you're feeling a sense of overwhelm, or even if you talk to somebody and you ask them how they are, and they say, well, I'm just, you know, kind of feeling overwhelmed. And one of the things that has helped me immensely is Stephen Covey's work in the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, way back when he wrote all the other books, was in one chapter that most people would call time management, but I call it personal management. And this has made an incredible difference in my life, and that is to schedule your priorities. Now, here's the thing about that. You have to know what your priorities are first. And in order to really get in deep with your priorities, it's important for us to look at our roles in life. And many of us have different roles and hats that we wear. You know, mother, father, aunt, uncle, husband, wife, lover, musician, employee, employer, you name it. You could probably list at least 20 to 40, most people in the room. But what are your priorities in the top five of those areas of your life? Of the top five roles of your life, the top five hats of your life that you wear, what are your priorities in those areas? What is really important to you in those areas? And to really kind of mark it down. I'm a great believer in don't just think it, ink it. You know, you get far more retention when you mark something down because you're using so many more of your senses rather than just thinking. You're using touch and sight. So you look at those, and those are your priorities. So then you schedule your priorities. Most people, when they go to time management workshops, they prioritize their schedule. I know I did that for years. Doesn't work very well. You get pretty tired and discouraged. Most people say, I've got all these things to do, you know, the to-do list. Doesn't mean you don't have a to-do list. But some people start with their to-do list and then they schedule them. And then it's like easy to see that we're leaving out some important aspects of our life. Some important things that have to do with one of the top five roles or hats that you wear in life. And when I read that book, I realized that my life was almost being consumed by being who I am here at the center. I had this to-do list. And the to-do list is never ending. It's never ending. Whenever you stroke a few other things off, you can always add a few more. And then I was prioritizing them every day, you know, like A, B, C, D, or 1, 2, 3, 4. And then when I read that one little chapter of Stephen Covey, and I mean, he trains people to go out to huge corporations to teach his work. And that's one of the main keys in his personal management. Because not so much about time management. Everybody has the same amount of time. I'm spending a few minutes on this because this has been pivotal in my life. And sometimes people say to me, how do you do everything that you do, Gail? And I'm not just speaking about here. You know, I pay attention to my family, even though they live at a distance. I look after myself. It's this. It's scheduling your priorities rather than prioritizing your schedule. Okay, another thing I'd like you to think about is another antidote for discouragement. Sometimes people do something like Oprah Winfrey suggested, and I still do it every day. I have a binder, actually, that I mark down my blessings and acknowledgments, and gratitudes. But another thing that we could do is to journal, keep a journal, keep a log of our progress. You know, that's one of the key things of building self-confidence, is when we look at where we've been to where we are now, and we see that we've grown. This is an important thing for us to do also, is to catch ourselves doing good things, or catch ourselves that we are at another level of consciousness now than we were before. And we go, oh, okay, I used to be this way, or I used to do this, or I used to maybe react this way, but now it's this. And to give ourselves acknowledgement about it. I heard a story just recently about, and I didn't really hear which grade it was in school, but it was grade school. And they were going to, for Valentine's Day, they were going to have carnation flowers available for 25 cents for the kids. And the kids could buy a carnation flower and then give this carnation to somebody that they really liked in school, in their class. And there was this one little girl that she didn't have any friends. And she had a sense that she wasn't very well liked, and she was really nervous about this day. So what she did was, she took $5 out of her bank, and she bought a bunch of these carnations, yeah. And attached her name to them. And then when the day came, you know, different kids were getting different carnations, and then she was getting all these carnations. And the rest of the kids were going, wow, we didn't know she had so many friends. Wow. And then one person said to her, who's this from? And she says, oh, this is from someone that really loves me and values me. And I thought, wow, what if we sent ourselves flowers at work? And I mean, some of you are retired and some of you own your own businesses or whatever. But, you know, something like this, like, what if we sent ourselves flowers at work? And, you know, people notice. It's like, wow, who did you get the flowers from? Someone who loves me absolutely. And you don't have to say anymore. No, it's like that. So, you know, that's just a little story about valuing ourselves and acknowledging ourselves and being kind to ourselves. Putting in our log, perhaps, when we didn't lash out at somebody, whereas maybe before we might have. Where we didn't quite react, that instead we responded in a positive way, in an empowering way, whereas maybe before we used to react. So it's like that. It's really important for us to see who we spend our time with. Who do we spend our time with besides our significant others? Like, who do we befriend? Who do we just pass time with? Not like, okay, sometimes, you know, you work with certain people and it's required that you be in their space and spend time with them. But the discretionary time, do we spend time with people who are encouraging, who are enlivening, who are empowering? You know, that word empowering is interesting because sometimes people think it's like, you know, if I'm empowering here, it's like I'm giving some of my power to you. No, it's by being in the space of that person, and because of you being with them, you get in touch with who you are at a deeper level and feel better about yourself. That's empowering. That you walk away and you're like uplifted and regenerated and re-energized. Of course, visualization is a huge thing, huge in dissipating discouragement. I remember when I was recovering from my near-death automobile collision many, many years ago, there were some days I got discouraged. When I came home after so many weeks in intensive care and so many operations. And so I had a friend that I knew I could call. That's going back one step to saying, who do you hang out with? I would phone and say, I'm not having a good day today. I need your support right now. And they'd remind me who I was. Not Gail Schultz, but you know, an infinite being of love and light. That was the other thing that we put in here. I'm a being, an infinite being. Therefore, I am subject to prosperity and health and relationships. So she'd remind me about that. She'd remind me that the healing power resides in me. But sometimes I'd get really discouraged, and maybe I couldn't get a hold of her. And I didn't visualize only when I was discouraged, but I really was disciplined in visualizing when I sensed that I felt discouragement. I'd close my eyes and see myself being and doing all the things that I would be and do as 100% recovered. 100% recovered. 100% well. Full of vitality. And I'd visualize myself, I'd see myself doing and being those things. Now we know everything is energy and our thoughts are energy. And our thoughts create our visualization. But then the next thing is, and I love the phrase that I always coin, it's move in. You move in consciousness. You move in feeling. I would visualize myself riding a bike. And here I was 25 pounds underweight and could hardly walk. But I'd visualize myself riding a bike. But not just visualize myself riding the bike. I would get into the feeling of how I feel riding my bike. Whee! Like that. Move in feeling. And of course, you know, we've been talking about this for 20 years in New Thought Center that we are, but you know, the movie, The Secret, of course, goes into that quite deeply. So the last thing I want to share with you is a code. And Lindsey Strath was here last week, and he donated a new DVD of the Moses Code. Now, some of you may have seen it. I hadn't seen it before, and I took the time to watch it. And it's produced by and stars James Twyman. I think that's his name, yeah, James Twyman. And the Moses Code has to do with just one little sign. And it's the apostrophe sign. And when Moses saw the burning bush and said, well, who shall I tell them sent me? Or like, what are you? Who are you? It spoke to him, whether the bush spoke to him or in his consciousness it spoke to him, whatever. Tell them I am that I am. Most of you have heard that, right? The Moses code is that we put a comma after the that. Now, this is really interesting because when we're talking about defeat and triumph or antidotes for discouragement, I would say that the time when we're feeling most discouraged, and any of the things that I've addressed already, all the things, underneath it, is a sense that we're separate from each other and that we're separate, I'll say, from God. But when we say from God, it's almost like it's over there. Got it? Now, getting back to this code, I am that I am, put the comma in. I am that I am. Neil Donald Walsh on DVD of the Moses Code shares that when he was at a seminar one time, the seminar instructor said, go through one whole day, no matter what you look at, just say to yourself inwardly, I am that. I am that. I am that. I am that. And that's really what the Moses Code is saying. That comma, I am that. I am. I am that. I am. As we do that, it's a wonderful thing to do when you're walking in the nature. I have a beautiful place to walk because I live in Sydney, just a block from the ocean. And ever since I watched the Moses Code, I've been doing this on my walks, and it's like, you know, everything I see, I am that. I am that. And I come away with a sense, an elevated sense of oneness, because that's the greatest antidote for discouragement or feeling defeated, is getting in touch with our oneness. Oneness with each other, and oneness in living in God. We don't live with God. It's like over here. We live in God. So even things that aren't even nature, you know, I am that. This podium. Expression of energy. I am that. I am that. Those cookies we're going to eat. I am that. Today's ice cream sundae. Sundae. I am that. I am the ice cream too. Instead of thinking, oh my God, I shouldn't have seconds, I'm trying to lose weight. No, watch what we're thinking. Watch what we're saying to ourselves. So I'm asking you, you know, to, I don't like to say give it a try. Try is anything but anything that it shall not be done, is what trying is. You know, I am forgetting just one little thing, and I just looked over here to this little box here. This was a little box that, after a course that I led here at the center, all the participants bought this box, and each of them put on a scroll what they received out of the workshop, and they were compliments and acknowledgement of me. And you know, I keep this at home, and whenever I feel discouraged, besides reminding myself that I'm one, we go to a acknowledgement file. Keep an acknowledgement file. Keep a file where people have complimented you, have acknowledged you, and go to that file whenever you're feeling discouraged. I don't go there near as often as I used to, but there has been some times in the life of the center that I went there fairly often. And a lot of those people don't come anymore. They live a lot of them have moved away, and a lot of them live in the city, and since we bought our building, a lot of them don't travel out here. But they're in my heart forever. So it's like that. It's like have things that remind you that life is good. Have things that remind you that you have friends. Have things that remind you who you really are, a spiritual being going through a human incarnation. And remember, you are that. I am that. God's presence and power within me acknowledges and salutes God's presence and power in each and every one of you.